What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app, which you can download anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. You can also get us on iHeartRadio platforms now. So check us out. Just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show, and there you have it. It is 308, 78 degrees. What a change in the weather today on this Friday, July 18th, 2025. You made it through the week. Hopefully we cruise through the rest of this afternoon and the weekend is yours. How's everybody doing? I apologize for stepping out yesterday, but just wasn't going to make it in. But here I am today. We did try and change things up, though. Instead of just playing a best of, you know, there were some interviews that we did not get to the day before that Jake inserted into yesterday's show. So you were able to hear some new stuff, even though I wasn't here. So, you know, I was glad that we were able to do that for you, at least change it up a little bit for those who stuck with us yesterday. But we got plenty to talk about today. Hopefully your week is winding down as well as ours, and you have something planned this weekend. It looks like a really nice day. The weather changed today, just unbelievably different. Was able to take the top off the Jeep today, go topless. And because it looks like today and tomorrow are supposed to be real nice. Sunday doesn't look too bad either, but, you know, we have our little – it is summer, so, you know, we deal with what we have to deal with. But today and tomorrow looks pretty good, so we'll – I'll take it. I'll take it indeed. The president is speaking now about his signing the first ever cryptocurrency bill. I'm not really, you know, I dabble in it a little bit. I do have a little bit of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, but not a lot. Listen, if the way it was always explained to me is if you take a little bit that you're willing to gamble anyway, throw it in and see what happens. And that's pretty much all I've done. It has been on a run the past couple of days. It did take a dip yesterday or the past 2 days. And I'm interested to see what its reaction is today to this cryptocurrency bill. As of right now, it's has been going down in the last hour, so we'll see how it goes. Over the past week, though, you know, it's up almost 6.9%. For the past month, it's up 29%. For the past year, it's up 97.43%. So it's all in all, it's been a really good and all in all, since the start of my dabbling, I'm up 35.18%. But as per the past hour, it's down almost a half a percentage point. But we'll see. The past day, 1.69%. So we'll see with this cryptocurrency bill. I really don't know what's in it. I haven't followed it very closely. Yesterday, I was kind of away from the media altogether, trying to deal with getting my eyesight back and not having a pounding headache. So we're back at it today. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now that Trump is soon signing the first ever cryptocurrency bill to come out of the White House. So we'll see what happens there. A little closer to home here, there were some good news in our area this week. A manufacturer of beauty and skincare, personal care products, underscored its commitment to not only Lackawanna County, but the U.S. and Scott Township through a new $60 million, 200,000 square foot facility in the Scott Technology Park. I drive by the Scott Technology Park all the time. It's a nice little park up there. Colmar is the name of the company. They're a South Korean beauty products manufacturer. This would be their second campus within the park, and it will create 280 jobs while retaining an additional 290 existing positions. So, I mean, you're talking about close to 600 positions for this technology park up in Scott Township. I believe I saw the township supervisor post that it was will be the biggest employer in Scott Township, adding to the tax base of not only Scott Township, but the Lakeland School District and Lackawanna County as a whole. The project initially announced in 2019 included an incentive package from the State Department of Community and Economic Development for $480,000 in job creation tax credits and $126,000 in a grant to train workers, state officials said. The project is also located in a CAS zone, which has provided the company $4.6 million in tax benefits from the state. Colmar officials and local business leaders gathered Wednesday at a ribbon-cutting ceremony in the event to celebrate the construction of the building, which includes new administrative offices and as state-of-the-art production capabilities. Now, this is interesting here. You had local officials there from Scott Township, and I did see that the Scott Township supervisor opined on social media that there were no Lackawanna County officials there, and yes, this is a benefit to Lackawanna County as well, as well as the tax base. Listen, $60 million investment in our area in a place like Scott Township. The Lakeland School District up there is not a very large school district, so this added to its tax base will be a benefit. It'll be interesting to see the exact numbers of that with the Keystone Opportunity Zone deal that's in place, but just the additional almost 300 workers is a big plus for that place. These are people who are going to add to the tax base. Payroll taxes will be going to everyone involved in payroll taxes, which everybody's got their hand out for that, don't they? So it's a good growth for that area. And where the Scott Technology Park is, it really does not add to any congestion for the area. It does not add to traffic in the area. It's kind of in its own little niche up there. And it's a great little addition to the rural area that Scott Township is. It is my neighboring township. I'm through it all the time. And they really have a great thing going up there, and it was good to see this expand. Now, the fact that this is a South Korean company that's looking to base operations here, they are located around the world, but they are becoming more U.S.-based because of the change in dynamics with as far as tariffs and such like that, where things need to be made here if you want to sell them for more of a profit here. Companies see that. At the same time, this South Korean company, Colmar, you also had Samsung, which is a South Korean company, looking to expand its manufacturing here as well. And that they came out and said directly due to this administration's stance on products being made here in the United States. This company, Colmar, this up in Scott Township, has been here for a while. Like they said, they have one plant already up there that has almost 300 jobs at its facility. This is doubling that capacity, including its administrative facilities, and doubling its employment base. A win-win for our area, a win-win for the American worker, a win-win for Northeast Pennsylvania. And again, the entities that will benefit from this, Lakeland School District, Scott Township, Lackawanna County, and Pennsylvania as a whole, including the U.S., because more manufacturing, a $60 million investment in just our little area here in Northeast Pennsylvania by one company is just one of many that we are seeing day in and day out for our area. So it's a good thing that all should celebrate. This isn't a bipartisan issue. This is a bipartisan issue. It would have been nice to see more bipartisan support up there. I do believe this was the same day that the vice president was coming to town, and around the same time. So I think that may have played a role in some of the attendance. But it was a huge asset, and that's exactly what the chairman of the Scott Township Board of Supervisors, Michael Gianetta, said at this event. The Scott Township Technology Park opened in 1990. To see it continuing to expand in this day, at this date, is a great attestment to America is back for manufacturing. America is back to welcome foreign countries to base their operations here in the United States. So it's good to see up there. The Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce, the Scranton Lackawanna Industrial Building Company, and the Board of Supervisors at the time had a vision that this would be a magnet for job development. This is, again, back in 1990. An expansion of its tax base. The Scott Technology Park is a gem of Lackawanna County. We're only 2 minutes from Interstate 81 and very easy in and out of here. And that's exactly what I just said. It really doesn't add to congestion for the community there. It is very easy to get to. It's in its own little separate area where if you didn't know where it was, you could probably pass it by and not even give a second thought. So it's not an eyesore to the community as well. So it's a great asset. Colmar, this company that's been there already and is doubling in size, has been a member of the local community since 1993. So only 3 years after the industrial center opened up there. It's really been a good neighbor for the area in addition to being a great employer. They donate to the police department canine unit and the Halloween event for kids every year up in Scott Township. We're glad they chose Scott Township to expand, and we look forward to working with them for many, many years down the road, said the Scott Township supervisor. Bob Durkin, president and CEO of the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce, said that the Scott Technology Park has been thriving after a bit of a slow start. The whole concept of this park was not only job creation, but specifically quality manufacturing and the prospects of research, development, and life sciences, a mix that is different from some other parks we've developed. The Scott Park has always been unique, and it's took a little while for it to take off, but it's really taken off now with the growth of jobs at this site. We're almost up to 800 jobs in the park altogether between everybody who's up there. The new facility lays the foundation for Colmar's ultimate goal of building a cosmetic industry complex that will include introducing supply chain partners to Northeast Pennsylvania, some officials from the chamber said. The executives from Colmar were there. Yoon feels that new building in Scott Township will allow Colmar to meet the growing needs of its customers. The facility sets the benchmark for excellence in beauty manufacturing, he said. We built this not just to meet expectations, but to exceed them. We see Northeast Pennsylvania as a center for future innovation for cosmetic industry in North America. Its investment is being a long-term commitment to growth. And again, supplying almost 600 jobs to our area, putting their administrative buildings here and doubling their manufacturing just shows that their commitment to this area from this South Korean company. Again, and you have to realize that they see that bringing manufacturing back here to where they can say their products are manufactured here, even though they're a global entity, shows the friendliness of business in 2025 and forward, because they would not be making a $60 million investment if they did not see that, because believe me, they have dozens of lawyers and economists and program specialists and business analysts that look at this and say, yes, this is what we're going to do because it's going to be good for business for us and Northeast Pennsylvania. So welcome to doubling the area. And we'll see if more and more people in our area take them up on those jobs that will be available shortly. It's 3:21 here at WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. What do we have for today? Let me see. We enjoy this half-off deal for Wine in the Woods. Get two tickets for the price of one. That's only $20. Happening Saturday, August 2nd at Elmhurst Roaring Brook Picnic Grounds. Enjoy food from many specialty vendors, wine from local wineries, and live entertainment. Must be 21 to purchase and attend. Visit getmyperks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Texter texted in, said, crypto is not real money. It's a number on a computer. That may be so, but that real, that fake money made me a 50% return last year. In real money, that was transferred to my account. So, like I said, if, is it better than going to the casino? That's a question you need to ask, because that's how I consider it. You know, you go to the casino with a couple $100, you have to be willing to lose that when you walk in. And my rule of thumb is if I double that, I walk out whenever I double it. Or if I'm having fun with friends and stuff, you know, as long as it's there and I'm having fun, you know, I'll keep playing. But other than that, there's two options when I go into a casino, and I rarely do. So it's all for fun, and that's the way I look at it. And I could count on one hand the amount of times I've been in a casino the past 5, maybe even 10 years. That said, you walk in with a couple $100 that you're willing to lose. And when I lose that, I'm done. If I double that, I'm done. And again, if I'm having fun with friends, even if I double that, I'll stay there and play as long as we're all having fun. But other than that, those are my two options. Those are my two end games when I walk into a casino. So I'm not there to try and kill the bank. I'm not there trying to lose money and worry about paying bills either. So that's the way I look at crypto too. You know, you have some money that you're willing to lose. You throw it in there. You see what happens. As of right now, it looks like it's on the upturn in the past hour. Crypto, because of this signing of the first ever cryptocurrency bill, it looks like the president is moving his way to the desk now to actually do the signing. Yep, sitting down at a desk now to sign this bill. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you apprised. And again, it's not a killing in there. It's just play money that I'm willing to lose or double one way or the other. You know, we'll see where it goes. Somebody said that, I know, Rob, I work there. Good things are happening here. And I asked them if they work at Colmar. If you do, I'd love to hear from it. It's good to hear good things are happening there, doubling the size of their workforce and their infrastructure, plus moving their administrative buildings, even if a foreign company. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a foreign company that's going to hire an American workforce and build things in America. That's what makes America great. In addition to that, you move down to Lackawanna County, and they're looking at improved traffic and amenities that highlight a plan for Montage Mountain's future. And there is so much potential for that entire area up there. There is so much space that's up there. I've had the conversation with multiple business people, multiple developers, multiple people. There is truly a gem up there. It just needs to come to fruition. It was really a great idea. There seems to be a lot of vacancies there now with losing some anchor stores that were up there. But that also opens the potential to great growth. And developers from around the Northeast and around Pennsylvania see it for just that. They think that if there was better road infrastructure, if there was better attraction there. I mean, be quite honest, and I know they haven't done that great, and they've kind of condensed where there used to be Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops. I think that area up there would have been great for a Cabela's or a Bass Pro Shops. They are truly a huge anchor store. Now, I know they've kind of shrunk in size over the past 20 years. But, you know, I still know people from our area that take day trips in groups down to Cabela's in Hamburg. So why not build that type of entity up here as well as other things? I mean, the ski resort we have there, the concert pavilion, the AAA baseball stadium, and everything else. That is a great base for developers to come in and say, let's really make something great here. And the potential's there. You need the investment. And for that investment, you need to be able to get people in and out. I think with the airport right there starting to expand its destination to places, could you make it a destination?
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South. And in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Could you make it, hey, let's take a weekend and go up to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area because of this event space that we have up there, the skiing in the winter? That's why, when we see the airport have multiple flights during the season, during the summer and stuff to Florida and such like that. Well, maybe people in Florida want to come up here and go skiing for a weekend. So let's do that the other way and look for that investment the other way. Let's look for the development the other way. You know, there are hotels up there that I think are not taken advantage of to the extent they need to be, because you need that influx of outside tourism, not just from our area. And with that, those stores. If you go to skiing villages in other places like Lake Placid, like Lake Tahoe, like up in Vermont, the industry there with the shops and cafes and bars and nightlife, with skiing, paired with skiing and nice hotels, a concert venue, again, for the summertime and in the off-skiing season, and baseball that's there from the AAA Yankee team, where you often get some of those big league players in our area. It's a great attraction, and it's good to see that they're looking at that future, looking at widening that infrastructure, looking at getting multiple routes in and out of these locations because of the traffic issues that they have up there. I think a lot of the traffic issues that they have up there, having worked major events in New York City like Yankee Stadium, like Citi Field, like Times Square, like these entities, I think a lot of the traffic issues they have are self-imposed. I think if they had better traffic control, I think if they had better training in dealing with traffic, it could lessen at least 30 to 40% of the issues they are currently having without expanding the infrastructure. And that's just from my observations going to these events and sitting in the traffic. I think a better job could be done in navigating that. So I think that's something that also needs to be looked into in training programs that are out there. You know, having entities look at Philadelphia and look at New York and look at the major metropolitan areas that deal with massive influxes of traffic, deal with how do we get people, mass amounts of people in and out of events for locations. Because these areas, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York, Giant Stadium in New Jersey, do it and do it very well. So I think a lot could be learned from there and brought it to, bring it to our area at not a great expense. Again, not increasing our infrastructure, which I think would need down the road, but I think 30 to 40% of our traffic issues could be dealt with better better training and better management of that traffic. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:37 here, 78 degrees. Just a beautiful day outside. Get outside, get some fresh air. Nice and cool out. Wherever you go tonight, you might even want to bring a sweater or a jacket. It's going to be one of those kind of nights. Beautiful night for a fire outside. I did get a text message that said, Rob, they're building Cabela's and a Costco by the VA hospital in Wilkes-Barre. Is that true? I did not hear that. That would be news to me. So if anyone has any further insight on that, I'd love to hear it. I think it's great bringing that to our area. But I think Montage Mountain would be a much better place for something like Cabela's, more of a destination, larger space. Somebody said that isn't Montage Mountain already overdeveloped? I don't believe so. There's a lot of empty space up there. I understand building in a lot of it is hard because of the rock base that's there. But there is plenty of space up there. There are a lot of older buildings that could be switched out for something more modern and developed. Plenty of places to just inhabit the stores that are vacant now. There's a lot of vacant stores up there that I think could benefit, but you need the traffic flow, you need the foot flow to get in there. So hopefully it comes to fruition. I think it's a great asset up there. It just needs to be seen on a Pennsylvania statewide level as that, and I think it could become a destination. So one Pennsylvania state senator wants to require front license plates in Pennsylvania. Now, about half, 22 states, so a little under half, 22 states do not require front license plates on vehicles, which means, you know, the other 28 states do. That being said, one of the main things by this state senator, and it's State Senator Katie Muth of Montgomery, she's a Democrat out of there, plans to introduce legislation that would require both front and back license plates. And she says it's a safety issue. You know, far too often there are hit-and-run accidents, traffic accidents, crimes committed where only the front of a vehicle is captured by camera or a witness, she said. And she's not totally wrong. That being said, I don't think it's at the extent to where it becomes a major detriment to identifying vehicles, especially in this day and age with cameras, everyone having a cell phone and everything else. You know, I think a lot of hit and runs now, although they do happen, you know, they do get good photographic evidence from other sources other than somebody just grabbing a license plate at the scene. So I don't buy that that is the answer here, and I don't think it will make anything more safe. I don't think it would curtail hit-and-run accidents. I don't think it would curtail anything as far as safety-related goes. What I do think this would do, and I think is the true meaning behind it, is they will be able to increase your fees. Obviously, there is a cost. The reason 22 states, the main reason 22 states do not require front license plates is the cost. They save a lot of money in only requiring one license plate. Now, of course, that would be passed on to you and I, the drivers, especially in Pennsylvania. So I think this is a backdoor method to, because you know they're just not going to charge us for the cost of that license plate, the second license plate. It'll be increased even more. There will be a buffer zone, and that's just more that the state could collect in registration fees when you have your license plate, when you get your license plate. Our registration fees are pretty up there now. That being said, it would no doubt increase if they require a second plate. Not only would we have to eat the cost of that second license plate, I guarantee you there'll be above and beyond costs on top of that. And I think that's the true reason here. You know, you talk about every registered vehicle and you talk about, you know, even if it's $5 above what it costs them, that comes out to a lot of money. It comes out to millions of dollars in the state coffers. And I think that's not being said. This is my opinion only, but I think you can agree this is just a state senator's way of saying, hey, you know, I came up with an idea that can increase the influx of money here, revenue, by a couple million dollars to the state that we can use for X, Y, and Z. And you know it wouldn't be for improving the roads. You knew it wouldn't be improving anything else. It would simply be play money for the people who can't even come up with an on-time budget in Harrisburg. So, again, just my opinion, but I think that's the main reason here, since the 22 states' main reason for not requiring a front license plate is cost. It's 3:42 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. You're with the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Friday, July 18th, 2025. It is 3:45, 78 degrees here. Somebody said, let's get license plates for the roof so helicopters can see who you are. Somebody said that, yes, the cost is the – actually, most people who have chimed in on the text message line said it looks like a money grab from the state to heighten your registration fees and go above and beyond whatever the cost would be to them for that second plate. But somebody says they don't want an ugly license plate on the front of their Corvette. Well, good for you. I agree with that. I have a Corvette license plate on the front of my Corvette right now. So it was interesting because I was just at the Weiss Markets up by me with my wife the other day, and we were walking around, and they did have the Mexican Coke in the bottles, the very thick glass bottles there, and it is quite more expensive because it is imported from Mexico. But it is made with pure sugar cane, and it is better. I've had them both, and some people say, you know, I don't know the difference. I don't see the difference. And I do. I taste the difference. I see the difference. They actually had a few. They had Fanta. They had Coke. And they had one other, and I forget what it was, that were all from Mexico, all in glass bottles. And again, you paid the price premium for it. And then you had the American Coca-Cola right there, which was cheaper, but they were only in cans. They weren't in glass bottles. But again, you know, as a novelty every once in a while, I don't drink a lot of soda, but as a novelty every once in a while, I will get them to, like if I'm planning to have Jack and Coke or something, I will try and get the Mexican Coca-Cola that has pure sugar cane in it. I do taste the difference. I think it makes a better drink. I think it blends better with bourbon. Just my 2 cents on it. Well, Trump has said that Coca-Cola has agreed to use real cane sugar in its UK drink, US drinks. So far, Coca-Cola has not come out with any official statement on it. There's been a lot of rumblings about that. But the Trump administration says he's been speaking to Coca-Cola about using real sugarcane in Coke in the United States, and they have agreed to do so, he revealed in a Truth Social. I think this is a great move. Listen, I understand it's cheaper, and I understand when they switch to corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, but it's just natural is better for you. It's you're still getting the same amount of calories. You're still getting the same sugar content. It's not healthy for you, but it's better for you. It's as simple as that. Coca-Cola uses a high fructose corn syrup in its production, in contrast to cane sugar in countries like Mexico and the United Kingdom. And I implore you to look at a lot of things we use, from Heinz ketchup. You know, look at the ingredients here in the U.S., look at the ingredients in Europe, South America. It is totally different. And if you've traveled to these places, if you've traveled to these countries, it is totally different. I mean, if you look at something like the French fries, McDonald's French fries, something you think would be standard across the world, they're not. Look at the ingredients in South America, look at the ingredients in Europe, look at the ingredients here in America. There's a difference there. Anything we can do to make our food healthier and more natural, because more natural does not necessarily mean healthier. But we don't need these chemical garbages. We don't need things like high fructose corn syrup. And there's a – I talk about it all the time. I grew up pretty poor. You know, I single – my father was the only one who worked. He worked three jobs. My mom was stay at home. You know, it was me and my two brothers. So there were three boys growing up in New York City, and she felt it was more important for her to be home to basically corral and keep control on us and monitor us than let us run loose and the two of them work. And we did without because of that. I, to this day, cannot stand margarine because, you know, there was the whole margarine kick back in the day to where, and it was cheaper than butter. This day and age, I like butter. Not only do I like real butter, I like real good butter. So a lot of times I will, you know, get the Kerrygold butter. I will get, you know, if I have to, the store butter, as long as it's real butter is good. But it's one of the pet peeves I have. Just like the Coca-Cola. You know, normally out and about, if I'm at a restaurant, I could really care less because I don't drink a lot of soda. But if I'm sitting home and I'm going to look to enjoy a Jack and Coke, there's nothing better than a real sugarcane Coca-Cola to mix with that Jack Daniels. And that's just me talking on a Friday night, because maybe I'll have that tonight. Maybe I will. It's coming up on 3:50 here at WILK. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. A lot of people chiming in. Sprite was the other Mexican soft drink that they had. They had Sprite, Fanta, and Coca-Cola. And that was just up at the Weiss's near me, and I know a bunch of them have it. Somebody asked if I could fit in a Corvette. Yes, I do still fit in my Corvette. Getting out's fun, but it's fun to drive once you're in. Somebody said that they have the Mexican Coke at home, forgot about it, but they will have to get some Jack and try that maybe tonight as well. Somebody said, Doug chimed in, real sugar and real butter. It's great. Doug also likes the Land O'Lakes butter. Nothing like good butter. If you could find a good Amish butter, if you could find a good locally made sourced butter, yes, Kerrygold butter from Ireland is one of my favorite. Just one of the pet peeves that I have. That and maple syrup. I need real maple syrup. We buy it by the jug, and it's always in the house. Two of the small pet – real butter and real maple syrup, the two pet peeves I have as far as food goes. Somebody's still arguing with me about crypto. Well, can you put the crypto in your wallet and spend it like cash? No, you can't. I don't carry cash, to be quite honest with you. You know, I use my phone to pay most of my stuff, and yes, I could do that with crypto. So 71% in a survey oppose the Luzerne County charter proposal. That's a large amount of people. Nearly 71% of survey respondents are unlikely or very unlikely to support the revised Luzerne County Home Rule Charter that's been proposed, according to a survey from a progressive advocacy organization. Another 19% are likely or very unlikely to support the charter proposal, and 10% are undecided. The survey from In This Together NEPA says the Luzerne County Government Study Commission is drafting a revised charter for voters to consider the November general election plans to finish this. So the reason I bring this out, the 71% here, in this together NEPA is coordinated with Action Together NEPA. They are cross entities. I believe one's a 501c3, one's a 501c4. Action Together NEPA is one of the groups that keeps all these protests in the area. You've seen in the newspaper, they also spend over 77% on salary and benefits. So they are a self-supporting organization that pretend to be an advocate for progressives and progressive movements in our area. But basically, they're just a job security for themselves. In this together action, in this together NEPA, as per their IRS 990 tax returns, have shared funds with each other, have given funds, they've paid each other. They're listed on each other's tax returns as funding one another to some extent. I don't have the tax returns in front of me, but something that you may want to look into. I've posted them before, and I've given the story about these entities before. So I would give any survey from this organization, which has close ties to Action Together NEPA, with a grain of salt. I would hope with this number, though, 71%, Luzerne County government actually does something to put their own non-biased survey out there. Now, I'm not saying there's bias or not in this survey. I just know the organizations that are involved here. In this together, NEPA sent its survey to roughly 124,000 people and got a little over 1,000 response, voting and election manager Beth Gilbert said. The group sent, remember that name? Voting and election manager Beth Gilbert? Yeah, she used to help run Luzerne County voter election building department. The group sent surveys to cell phone numbers of registered voters in Luzerne County and eliminated responses from people who did not provide a verifiable phone number or zip code, Gilbert said. Half the survey respondents were Republican, while 38% were Democrat and almost 12 were independents for members of other parties. The survey as follows. 90.5 want to continue with an independent ethics commission. Sounds like a good idea. 91.9 want the Board of Elections to remain independent and bipartisan and not be subjected to changes by county council. 91.3 support the current projections in place for the election board and do not want political figures to serve on the election board. 91.77 support term limits for local elected officials. And 86.2 support keeping existing term limits in place for current elected officials. Again, I think the Luzerne County has a long road ahead of it in regards to this home rule charter proposed changes and what's been happening with it. But, you know, when you start hearing organizations like In This Together NEPA and Action Together NEPA, and they have some of the same members in both or cross memberships and money has been paid from one to the other, it's hard to take them seriously. So just do your due diligence when you hear from organizations like this. It's interesting that the Citizen's Voice never mentioned their connections with Action Together NEPA and tried to pass it off to you. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.